Yeah, Dave, thanks for having me, mate.
It's my pleasure.
Been in Brisbane a few days now, and of course met you on Sunday at the event we held at the Science Festival. It's terrific to be here with you.
Yeah, fantastic. Thank you for coming in. So we just heard from Ghost Mutt with their song Rinse and Repeat. And before that, Jeff brought us The Grow Up, all about brush turkeys. We actually got a text in from Mr. Stalin saying, I love our brush turkeys. They're the biggest characters in our street. They're quite welcome to dig up anything they like in my yard. Anthony, is it? Brush turkeys over in WA?
Yes. Yes, but more limited range, I think.
Yeah,
what
right.
I'm seeing here, they're huge. The numbers we've just been amongst down at Northie Street this morning. But yeah, and they're slightly different too. But and then as you go north into the really remote areas, you know, Pilbara and so forth, they're different again, but beautiful. Still beautiful.
Yeah. I love the brush turkeys as well, actually. So Tally's in the room with us.
Hello.
You might remember Tally from the discussion we had about bush regen without herbicides. Mm-hmm. And all the wonderful work and tips that they're doing there. Now, Anthony, you're in town for the World Science Festival in Brisbane. I saw your discussion with Jacob Birch, friend of the show. Listeners, you might remember Jacob from the discussion we had about native grains and integrating that into the wider sort of mainstream farming system. You were also there with Zena Cumpston, and that was a fantastic show. Discussion. Jacob made a great point in the conversation when he said that Europeans didn't bring European farming practices when we colonized this land, because in Europe they use a much more like diverse, biodiverse farming technique. So what is it that we are doing in this country then, if it's not a European farming technique, if it's not a indigenous farming technique?
My answer, in short, would be it's an industrialized technique.
Mm.
I think that's a way we can sum up what's happened. And that's, you know, Australia was colonized on the back of that emerging. So, as opposed to the Americas, for example. So, it's a different thing there. So, it was fascinating when Jacob said that. And more than one person sort of reflected it back to me since, and I'd never quite thought of it that way either. But it is interesting on so many levels. I mean, I think of, for example, Paul Hawken, who wrote the famous, well, a number of famous books, but the recent one called Regeneration, Ending the Climate Crisis in One Generation. Years ago, decades ago, in fact, he said something like, it was the Gandhian refrain. When Gandhi was asked when he visited London, what do you think of Western civilization? He said, I think it's a good idea. Like, worth trying. And same thing with capitalism. Paul said, I think capitalism's a good idea, worth trying. Because it's not capitalism if you're eroding your capital and calling it profit.
Right.
So it makes no sense. So similar, when Jacob says something like that, I think he's right. What we did when Australia was colonised was, as he described, we just let rip with masses of, you know, mostly sheep in those days, which we've come to know as set stocking, and the regenerative agriculture and return to First Nations agriculture is sort of transcending that in ways that are more nuanced, and even with livestock, which is important, right? Not to, because there's this whole demonisation or genuine concern, but verges on demonisation at times of livestock in the climate context and so forth, that actually the integration of animals, like it was always done here and is being done in regenerative agriculture contexts around the world to great effect, and I've seen a lot of this around Australia too, that these are the departures from the just let the animals rip, or of course with the monocropping that just kills everything else that we don't want for the so-called cash crop. And that includes a lot of animals, by the way.
Yes.
A lot, like, a lot of animals. It's diabolical, the lengths, what we don't know still about that industrialized, dehumanized system. I think that's the difference. We were colonized just in that era. where it was taking off. And so this is what we applied here, a mechanistic, we're in control, it's all about us and the output, you know, those sorts of narratives versus stewardship of country and land first, and then that will take care of everything else, including your economies, if you want to use that name for it. Like, that's even a recent construction. So I think these are the positive things that, obviously, that were the themes of Sunday, where are the convergences around where white fellas are going in really beautiful ways, and where First Nations are resurging, if you like.
This is where, like, a lot of your conversations go on the Regen Narration podcast.
You can just say regeneration.
Okay, thank you.
But yes, it's got the play on the word for those who are listening.
Is that it goes into stewardship. And you've been talking about this since 2017. The podcast has been going on for, I'm sure you've been talking about it longer with your mentor, Frank Fisher. Mm. What have you learnt over the years of doing the podcast like that?
Oh, Dave, yeah. I mean, in a way, that's the big one. I mean, I've learnt so much, right? And I guess I alluded to a few key threads just before, but for example, like, now I get asked to host conversations like this on Sunday, right, which came out of the podcast, which, I mean, 2018 was the pivotal year, because that's when, as a family, we travelled around the country, because I'd heard enough stories now of this ilk, and I wanted to go and meet the people. I'd been running events and stuff since 2012, when I'd learned a bit more about radio, Triple R in Melbourne at the time, but had never started a show, but had this idea that that would be good. Mm-hmm. And then in 2018, I was like, actually, let's take it out there, rather than have them come to us when they happen to be in a city, or, you know, if someone's launching a book or something. Let's actually go out there.
I do actually really like that about the podcast, is like hearing the fire crackle as you're recording the conversation, or the birds in the background. Like, it does really help you put yourself in the place of country.
Well, this is one of the things I've learned, and I guess intuitively it was partly at play, but I learned explicitly country speaking for itself.
Okay.
As much as humans giving the words to describe it or try to relate with it, the amount of times I'd have people saying, I heard the guinea fowl at that, you know, Wooleen station, I heard the guinea fowl in the background. I felt like I had the red dirt between my toes. Mm. Like, it's the things when you're there, you don't even think that much about, but country speaking for itself. So the power of that is one of the reasons then I've continued to do it this way, and partly why I've not just left, as conventionally you would do after the science festival, take their plane ticket back to where you came from, is to stick around and meet some people and be in situ there. So that's one of the things. Last time I was in Brisbane, well, second last time actually was, but the last time at some length was July last year, where RCS Australia, Central Queensland mob, based in Yeppoon, now regarded as sort of the backbone, like the pioneering backbone of regenerative agriculture in Australia, so training organisation. They held their 30th anniversary conference, big hoopla, and of course post-COVID, you know, doubly big hoopla in Brisbane at the Exhibition Centre in July. They asked me to host. So again, I'm finding myself in these situations that I almost have to pinch myself in. So here I am with Central Queensland beef producers as much as anyone else.
Yeah, Yeppoon is just off the to the east of Rockhampton, the beef capital of Australia. Also the highest number of fast food joints in a city.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Doesn't that just give this touchstone for the spectrum we're talking about, where the industrialised system we're hopefully emerging from, and there are signs we're emerging from. But then here was this thing, right? There were 600 to 700 mostly farmers or station holders, mostly, not all, in this big conference. And for them, out of this 2 days, and obviously not only, like, they'd come in with a big essence, but the key themes that emerged in that weekend, stewardship was number one.
Okay.
This is amongst that cohort, let alone the fact that there was a meditation on day two. They didn't expect it, like Zach Bush did this, for those who might know Zach, but it flew.
Right.
It's just, this is, this is what I've witnessed right around the country,
mm-hmm.
that there is a transformation at play that we just don't bloody hear about.
Yeah.
And it offers so many ways to connect, like I did. I'd never been on a station in my life.
Mm-hmm.
To so many ways to connect with people you perhaps historically haven't.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And both ways, right? For them to connect with people like me.
Podcasters.
Well, before even, like just city dwelling.
Yeah.
Relatively, like I didn't know much about their lives. And they're out there going, city dwellers don't know anything about the realities out here. And they're right. Mm-hmm. But we're also right to say they don't know much about what we're on about. But this is bridging, and I think it needs to. And I think it's a powerful site of potential
mm-hmm.
for a lot of the things that we would be concerned about amongst us here.
So why do you think that stewardship is beginning or in its element now in farming, whereas before it wasn't? What's changed?
It's a good question. Jacob alluded to some of it on Sunday, didn't he? He said, and even Charles Massey in his book Call of the Reed Warbler, which really changed things too in itself in that period too, 1718, which was part of the thing, our journey, because someone put that book in my hand and I was like, okay. I got straight on the phone to Charlie. I said, would you be part of an event? So I was doing these events at the time. And he came down to Melbourne. The guys from Wooleen Station in Western Australia came across and there was this big festival thing and they were centrepiece. He found, like his own personal story, that trauma in 60% of the cases of transformation of this kind in farmers, station holders and like food producers, mm-hmm. trauma was at play. So that they'd been forced to the wall, whether it was health, finance, drought, flood, like whatever. Fire, did I say fire? Yeah, fire, like a couple mm-hmm. of cases just burnt to the ground, left with nothing.
Mm.
So trauma's played a role, as it probably does in human transformation period, which yes. is a whole other... we could follow that tangent, yeah. but...
that's for the paradigm shift on
there
Friday.
There we go, there we go. But not only, right, so that's 60% of cases. In other cases, then there's overlap, and I said this at the event too, the biophilia, as it's can be termed these days, E.O. Wilson's famous term, a love of place, a love of earth,
mm-hmm.
which is what a lot of farmers would... they talk like this.
Yes.
They love their farms. Right?
Yes.
They love the country and they think they're doing the best by it. And so were all these people that I'm talking about in this conference.
Mm-hmm.
But they realised by being forced to the wall in one way or another, which included imbibing of chemicals too, like, yeah, like the spectrum of industrialised agriculture consequences. But then I think beyond that, then there's something else going on. And this is where I think it connects with First Nations and paradigm change, is that there is a beyond rational aspect to this. Again, one of the ways Western culture, and for all sorts of benefits, mind you, the machines we deal with today, for example, but it in reducing, in that reductionist scientific paradigm, it reduced the notion that our senses are the five senses, right?
Mm-hmm.
As if they're clear cut. I mean, people see, what is it? They see sound.
Yes.
And vice versa. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. I can't remember the name. Yeah.
Sin something, isn't it?
Synesthesia.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
We've also got a radio show called that.
There you go.
Yeah.
4ZZZ is across the board.
Yeah, totally synesthesia. Got onto it. Yeah.
And it just goes to show, I think, that these people are moving, pardon me, moving into our innate humanity, and that this, recovering that, regenerating that, if you like, and that's the ultimate connection point to each other, to the earth, to country, because more than the earth, even to country, and then to paradigm change.
Mm.
Because I think when we're talking about that, it's not going to be the linear, mechanistic, make a plan, execute sort of thing. In fact, I think this is a lot of what drives people crazy or just very depressed and frustrated. A recent podcast with a Western professor on quantum social change articulated a lot of this beautifully from that lens. But it marries up with a lot of what I'm seeing of these people on the land, is how change emerges from changing the way we act, think, feel, everything, just be in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd love to talk more about this. We've got to go to a song, and I've picked this song. This is Olive Knight from up in the Kimberley. This is Yana Palapa. And you're listening to 4ZZZ. I've just been speaking with Anthony James, and you're listening to Eco Radio.